Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, good morning. It's the middle of April, and we had 7 inches of snow yesterday, and today's tax day. But Tiger Woods won the Masters, so it's all good. Welcome to the Steve Cochran Show for a Monday morning. Dave Ennett, Mary Sandberg Boyle. We got Mike and Super Joe on the other side of the glass. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. Mary Vandeveld in Traffic Central. I'm watching a beautiful sunrise over Lake Michigan. That's probably the only real redeeming value so far today. I mean, the drive-in is not as good as you might think it's going to be.
I'm sorry about the express lanes, Dave. I knew you'd be upset.
I'm not even sure I was going to get on them because I thought the expressway was slippery enough.
Yeah, and they didn't not really plow the express lane, so they're doing that right now, snow removal, so that's why they're closed.
Well, Mary and I both come in from the north. Mary Sandberg.
Yes.
And so I think I passed it first. It turned over semi at Old Orchard.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was a Highland baking truck.
That's, was that what it was?
Yeah, I could see the side.
Could you smell it?
No, but I felt bad because there was a lot of bread on the ground.
Oh. And not that kind of bread, not green bread.
No. It was loaves.
Yeah. I noticed coming off, I take the spur ramp, coming off the spur, I hit a patch of ice. I didn't expect it because I was out driving in the snow yesterday, and it was a little messy and it was slushy, as Steve Grzanich accurately predicted it would be. But he did say it wouldn't stick.
Yeah, missed that one, yeah. Yeah, it didn't in the city that much, but it did in the suburbs. Yeah,
and then the temperature dropped.
On the highways, but I thought by this morning it would be okay. Really isn't. It wasn't great. Yeah. Now, that was 2 hours ago, so I'm sure it's gotten a little better by now, right?
I don't think the temperature's gone up, has it?
It's going up a little bit, yeah, but not a whole lot.
But they've treated the roads.
Yeah.
Some of the ramps are bad.
So, Mayor,
that's where all the accidents are.
How come that was so slow yesterday, the treatment of the roads? Is it because they put everything away for the winter?
I don't know. I don't think they quite... Well, they expected it. I mean, they were calling for it all day Saturday. So, I don't know if they didn't plow quickly enough.
I think the intensity surprised a lot of people.
It was so thick.
Yeah, because
it was heavy.
You know, late Saturday, they were saying that the intensity was going to be further west than it actually turned out to be.
Okay.
I mean, here at the lakefront, and we had thunder snow. It was snowing so heavily, I couldn't see across the street at one point.
Yeah,
it was coming from all directions. Like, the snow was
the wind
left,
was not helping, yeah.
But it was... I went to the store yesterday afternoon. I had gym shoes on, and walking from my car across the parking lot, it was like standing in 3 feet. Well, it was slush, what it was, and was. And I'd rather have a foot of snow than just all that. That it was just miserable. Yeah, it was just a mess.
We had our landscapers out on Saturday, and they did our spring cleanup. And then we had our plow people out on Sunday plowing our driveway. So,
and then it's going to be 70 tomorrow.
I know.
That's okay. I'll take it. As long as we know the 70s coming.
Yes.
No wonder everybody's allergies are insane right now. There's so much going on in the air.
Yep.
Mary, did you have a good shower?
I did. I had a wonderful bridal shower I hosted for my niece, Rachel. Yes, thank you.
So Mary was not here on Friday because she was hosting the shower and she had to clean her house.
Yes.
And
Which I did again yesterday. Thank you very much.
I just assumed, I don't know why, in my head I thought it was a baby shower.
Oh.
And so on Facebook there were some pictures and I'm like, wow, this girl looks amazing for being pregnant.
In a white dress.
I was like, wow, she looks great. But in your full family is small, you know, the women all look good, but... Then it was a wedding shower. It was not a baby shower.
Yes, it was a bridal shower. It was a lot of fun.
Your house looked pretty.
Thank you.
You did a nice job.
Yeah, my daughter helped me, and we had a good time. Good time, but I was out too late in the morning. Because it turned into a bachelorette party afterwards.
Uh-oh. Oh, and Mary got wild?
Oh, boy. Yeah, Mary was out till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
It's very late for me.
How do you even do that,
Mary? Well, then, Dave, they all came back to my house because they wanted to eat more food. So all the girls came back to my house, and I'm going to bed.
I would hope so.
Have fun eating the pasta, the chicken. I'm out of here.
Do they understand that you get up at 3 in the morning every day?
Well, they don't get it. You know, it's young girls. And then my sister was with us, and she's, you know, my age, and she was like, come on, let's have some chicken. No.
And that was the one thing that struck me this week, hearing Tiger Woods say on Saturday, well, I'm going to get up at 3:45 tomorrow morning. Okay, I get it. He had an early tea time. We get up at that time every day.
Yeah, we don't feel sorry for him. Making a big deal about that, yeah. But he had to get his body ready.
Yeah, well, he did. He did. We'll talk more about that coming up. Doc Most is going to be here. Measles, the topic this morning. Something I don't think most of us have really thought too much about in recent years. So we'll have our MVPP this morning. Ryan Nobles will check in on the political doings of the weekend. And lots more coming up on a Monday Steve Cochran show. And
from the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, item number 1, item number 2, item number 3, all the way through item number 6, Tiger Woods. He's our top 6. He's covered each of these 6 items this morning.
For people that don't know, I put together the top 6, and today, I put Tiger Woods as all 6 items.
Well, that's fair enough.
That was the first round of the draft.
I think we'll talk about Tiger.
For like every member of his family.
We should probably throw Tax Day in there somewhere for the people.
That's number five. But how great was yesterday, as far as watching the Masters, because they moved up the time because it was going to get some weather in Augusta. And so we woke up, my husband and I, we flipped on the TV, and we stayed in our bed until Tiger Woods won at 2 o'clock.
Here's what I think. They should start the final round of the Masters at 9 o'clock every year.
Yeah, it was fan. It was a perfect viewing environment.
But even if it were a nice day, at least if it's over, what time did it end? About 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then you've still got the rest of the afternoon. If it's a 70-degree day, you go out and play golf.
I know.
Go out and work in the yard.
And I liked the way they did the groups of three. If you think golf is slow, which I do not, but I know a lot of people do, it was a very fun, rapid, you know, there was a lot of action. So it hit you on all levels.
I'm not much of a golf fan. The one thing I wondered about that, the doing trios instead of duos, does that mess with your rhythm? Are you so used to doing one shot, you know, back and forth with another player on the course, where a third shot kind of like takes you out of that, you know?
I don't think so, Joe, because that's how they do it in the early rounds of all the tournaments. They have threesomes, so it's not unusual. I mean, maybe they would tell you differently, but I would think they're somewhat accustomed to it. All right, so that's item number 1. Let's go to item number 1A. Is that a tiger?
Yeah,
very good.
Sounds like a dog. I want to hear Dave go like meow or something. He's Mr. Cat.
No. I'll go with that. Thunder snow drops more than 5 inches of accumulation at O'Hare, cancels more than 1,000 flights. Both my kids were out of town for the weekend and flying back last night. Both were separately flying into Midway. Their flights were late, but they got home okay. But I heard there were an awful lot of flights canceled.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends that were canceled and told just not even to come. So that's no fun for traveling.
And Steve Grzanich saw the thunder snow firsthand.
Yes, saw and heard it several times from my vantage point in Uptown. And the snow was so heavy, it was just, I couldn't even see across the street at one point. It was just amazing. In some places, Dave, I mean, got way more than 5 inches, too. Out in Huntley, I think it was 7.5 inches, and some other places got close to 6, 7, and 8. So what a day.
I walked outside about, I think it was about 5 o'clock, and there were these huge flakes, and then big clumps of snow coming down.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It was like.
But I'm not shoveling. No way.
Well, no, you don't have to shovel this. Item 2.
It's snowing!
Peter Buttigieg, the young, is that how you say it, Steve?
Buttigieg, yep.
Buttigieg, the young gay mayor of South Bend, announces his run for the presidency. He's kind of, he's made some inroads among the Democrats, hasn't he?
He has. He's become very popular. Also a former veteran, war veteran. I think he was in Afghanistan.
He was a Rhodes Scholar.
Rhodes Scholar, all kinds of accolades being applied to him. But there were, I think, a total of three candidates that announced yesterday, Democrats. So the field is like 39 now.
I like one thing he said, the moment we live in compels us to act. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm behind him now.
He said,
he sucked me in.
He said he understands at the age of 37, some might consider him a little young, but that's okay. As Mary said, he said, we live in a moment that compels us to act.
Yeah.
The 123rd Boston Marathon is today. Anybody here running?
No, but Pete Zimmerman, you know, who used to work on the show that does Justin's show?
Yeah.
His wife, Molly, qualified on Saturday. She ran a marathon, and she qualified for next year's Boston Marathon.
Congratulations,
I know,
Molly.
It's very exciting.
That's
yeah.
Great. Awesome. It's supposed to be rainy and windy today, too. So
yeah, it often happens.
Last year was the worst. Remember the downpour?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah.
bad last year.
And I think this is the first time the Boston Marathon is on the 15th since the bombing in 2013, I think.
Yes, I believe
that.
You're yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. It is so, Patriots
so
Day.
So safety is up. There's a lot of security
sure.
is up high.
No there. Question. Well, this seems like not exactly the way to put this. Happy Tax Day. It's got an exclamation mark, but it should have a question mark as the punctuation.
Yeah, I know several people who were working to the last minute yesterday on taxes. Didn't get to watch golf, didn't get to watch Game of Thrones. They were heavily involved in getting their taxes done. A lot of people saw refunds fall this year. A lot of people paid a little bit more in taxes. Some people got a little tax break. So, but today's the day. And you know what? This is the first time in several years that we've actually had the 15th be the deadline. Because remember, we've had other holidays and other federal
right.
things the last couple of years where we've gotten a few extra days, but not this year.
You would think they'd give you a day or two. Yeah, just say, I mean, it's a Monday. It's
yeah.
it's already a tough enough day.
Yeah, and it's Holy Week, too.
Right.
Oh, we got over Easter.
That's right.
Well, let's cancel it till after Easter.
People with their tax problems.
And finally.
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Taxes? Isn't this the line from Metallica?
Very nice, Joe. And do any of us care about Game of Thrones? Now, I know a lot of people care about Game of Thrones. Who on the show watches?
None of us.
I watch it.
Oh, you do.
But I'm not one of the nuts over it.
You weren't, Winter is Coming, Winter is
and
Coming.
And I DVD'd it last night, so.
DVD'd?
Yeah, I can't stay up that late.
I think it's DVR'd.
Whatever it is.
So my son yesterday was on the phone trying to find a friend with one of his HBO friends that he can go hang out at their house and watch it with his girlfriend. Because they're like, Mom, we need HBO. I'm like, I'm not getting HBO just for that show because I'm not going to watch it.
That's what my husband...
He found a friend.
We were trying to figure out, based on all of our social media, it seems like everyone's watching. Though we know, because of being in the business, that not everybody has HBO. So how is it that everyone's watching a show when no one's got HBO? You know, like, where's... It doesn't. Does everyone just go to one house to watch it?
Yeah, that's a good question because first of all, I think either they go to a friend's house, perhaps. Maybe they have the.
Oh, you have the some people have the Fire Stick.
Yeah, you could have the Fire Stick. The other
for later.
You could have that one of the services that does the what is it? HBO Now,
okay.
where you can watch it on your iPad and just get like the one.
Just the one
yeah.
thing.
You
okay?
Or you can prescribe. You can get it and then cancel.
Yeah,
I will watch it at some point because I think. I've heard enough people say it is really worth watching, even though you think, come on, it's just something hyped and it's not really that good. People say it really is good, but you also have to invest the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's what, 7 seasons, I think, right? I mean, it's been on for a while.
It is. And this season, the episodes, I'm told, and we've covered this on the show, are going to be a little longer episodes.
But there's only six,
I think. And I think one of the episodes is almost 2 hours long.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so... That's like 12 hours of your life you'll never get back.
That's why I put it on the VHS.
That's you don't have Betamax?
He's DVD.
No, he's DVD.
DVD.
All right, that's the top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Doing great. Great weekend. Sun shining now. Snow has stopped. We're all, everything is good.
Isn't it bizarre? I played golf on Saturday and then, shoveled snow on Sunday.
Right. Not so much yesterday.
Doc Most sent me two pictures on Sunday. One picture of his three of his happy dogs that don't live here. And they all three dogs are smiling because they live on a golf course and they're is it North Carolina?
Yep.
Yeah, North Carolina, these three golden retrievers that are beautiful. And then the next picture of his driveway with all the snow, and he said, why do we live here? You should be with the dogs.
That's what my dog asked me last night. He said, are you going to make me go out in this? Are you kidding? I heard the word, your promo that Steve was running overnight, talking about measles. I had measles when I was a kid. I don't think my kids had measles, and I hadn't really thought about measles probably since I was a kid, Doc, but it's making a comeback.
Dave, it really is, and it's a little bit concerning. If you look historically, go back to 2012, we had 55 cases the entire year. 2016, we had 86 cases the entire year. This year already, we have 465 cases of measles in the country here already.
And it's only April.
Correct.
What's going on?
Well, we have these pockets of anti-vaccination groups across the country, and unfortunately, we haven't eradicated measles from the entire world. In the year 2000, we said measles is essentially gone in the United States, but unfortunately now it's been making this comeback due to anti-vaccination clusters around the world, as well as the world is getting smaller, and countries that don't vaccinate as well as we do, people will often travel in, and the disease itself is very easy to spread.
Does that in any way mitigate the effectiveness of the vaccine when you have these pockets? I mean, we see different diseases that are evolving all the time and morphing, so to speak. I mean, is that happening with measles?
Yeah, measles is a very stable virus, and the vaccine is extremely effective. A 97% effective rate is amazing for most vaccines, and that's what measles is. So if everybody gets vaccinated, so you have a group of 100, 97 of them are going to be protected. Three won't. But we kept something called herd immunity, where if enough of us are protected, we can protect the ones that don't, where the vaccine doesn't actually work. So the problem is not with the vaccine or with the virus changing. The problem is that we have a decreased number of people around the world and, unfortunately, in the United States who are getting vaccinated.
Well, in your notes, Doc, which will be posted later, you talk about how it used to be, it changed, the requirements for the vaccine itself changed from 1960 to 89, or, what was the difference? And then there's a booster involved. Is that still happening?
Yes. So when the vaccine first came out, like 1958, 59, and then really into the early 60s, anytime a vaccine comes out, we're going to give you one shot of it, and then we're going to test you later to make sure, see how well it works later. What they found out in the late 1980s is, a little bit of that wanes a little bit, so we're going to give a booster now. So you get your first shot after the age of 12 months, not before 12 months. You have to be 1 year old, and then you get a booster around when you're going into kindergarten, fifth or sixth grade. So that booster is the one that's most important that's going to get you that 97%. So those of us who were born during that time, many of us would have just gotten the one shot. Now, many schools required the booster. Some parts of the country didn't. But there's this little pocket of people aged, 30 to 60 that may have only gotten one dose. And those people were a little bit concerned about, but at least they got one dose of the vaccine.
What's the risk from measles, Doc?
Yeah, Dave, we all think, oh, so what? It's a little cold. You're going to have a little bit of a rash, and you're going to feel miserable. And, for for some people, that's true. It sounds like you had measles. Everything worked out fine with you. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, measles can cause permanent hearing loss. You can have pneumonia. You can have a brain illness. And people die from measles. You know, even this year, we had 100,000 deaths due to measles around the world. In 1980, 2.6 million children died from measles. You know, so this is not a disease that's just an inconvenience. For some people, this can be deadly. It can end up with permanent hearing loss. You can get extremely sick from it.
Is it one of those diseases like chickenpox that when, as you're older and you get it, it's worse?
Yes, it definitely is, because as people age, you know, if your immune system, if you're going to get exposed to something and you're older, obviously the immune system is not going to do as well. And so the chance for pneumonia and the chance for encephalitis as we age. So people that were exposed to it and, were only exposed to one dose of the vaccine, those are the ones that we're concerned as they age to make sure that we protect them from not getting exposed to that virus.
You mentioned the booster at 12 months, or is that the initial?
That's the initial. The initial is at 12 months, and then the booster is, ages 5 to 6.
Okay, so what kind of risk is there for newborns or infants under the age of 1 if they're exposed to it, say, from an adult who has not been vaccinated, or, you know, somebody like me who maybe had measles when I was a kid?
Yep, huge. You hit it right on the head. You know what, we really get concerned about newborns, young infants. Now, they get some protection from their mother if they're breastfed, but for the most part, they're not going to be protected at all. And when we talk about measles starts out as just a little runny nose, a little cough. You know, you might get conjunctivitis, your eyes might get a little bit red, and you might get a fever. But the rash isn't there. That the thing that we're looking for isn't there for sometimes up to 5 days. So these individuals have been spreading this virus for 5 days before the rash comes out. So that's why we always tell parents, you know, make sure that anybody that's a newborn, anybody that's, you know, in this 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of age, keep them away from anyone that is ill.
Talking to Dr. Kevin Most, as we do every Monday. The snow has just stopped a second ago, Doc. Just a second ago. Just now.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Tomorrow it could be 65 to 70, I understand.
Yeah. And then it'll snow again on Friday, I think.
I know. There's like a lot of rain, but I know we can at least, you're supposed to get rain in April. So that part I can accept.
Let's get back to talking a little antibiotics here. What's Candida auris?
Yeah, Steve, you know, it's, I don't know how long we've been doing this show. I've gone all the way back with Spike, and I don't think we ever talked about it.
1958.
I did not know that Kevin Most was a Spike holdover.
Introduced me to Doc.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Now, did
yeah.
you play golf with Spike?
Yeah, we played a little bit of golf.
Oh. Yeah. Look at that. You learn something new every day.
And Spike had a unique way of introducing himself to people. If it was a friend of Spike, it was a friend of yours.
Okay.
And I had to sleep over at Doc's house on the first night. So it was a little awkward, but we got to be pals. All right. So what's Candida auris?
Yeah, so it's a fungal infection that is really causing a lot of concern right now across the country here and around the world. But if we think of fungal infections, we often think of athlete's foot or ringworm and, you know, just these kind of nuisance infections. But this is one that can actually kill you. So it's one that it's definitely got our attention. It is a fungus that is a little bit different. It can live on cool surfaces and dry surfaces, where most fungus are looking for moisture and heat. And it's one that in immunocompromised people can be really difficult to treat because it's resistant to the three main antifungal medications that we have.
So we always hear that we are being prescribed antibiotics at a level too high. They're becoming stronger, the viruses are, and we're running into a problem that we might not be able to turn back from. Where are we on that story?
Yeah, that one's interesting. You know, we've talked about that in the past. You know, hey, don't ask your doctor for you know, an antibiotic if you have a virus. The common cold is caused by a virus. Antibiotics are not going to do any good, and they're actually going to potentially do harm. Well, front page of the New York Times last week talked about what's going on in Kenya, you know, halfway around the world, and talking about how the overuse of antibiotics there and the impact that it's making on those communities. And it's actually staggering when you look to see what's going on there.
Part of the problem there, though, is you can buy antibiotics over the counter, right?
Yep, that's the biggest problem right there. So you take a country that is essentially very poor. You have poor sanitation. Individual in the family gets sick. They go to the pharmacist. They don't have to go to a doctor. They go to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist says, well, here, take these. And if they took the right medication in the right dose, it would essentially break them. They would use their entire savings for that. So they buy a couple pills, and that's allowed. So now they go back and they give the individual a couple pills, and it's the wrong medication, the wrong dose at the wrong time. And what happens is these antibiotics start to not be weakened, but the bacteria actually aren't bothered by the antibiotics anymore. We have selected out the strongest ones.
And we need to remind people that antibiotics don't help a cold.
They don't. And you know what? This is going to really show you the impact here. So in the United States, everyone's probably heard of salmonella, right? We hear about it always, every so often. Oh, a salmonella outbreak from, you know, lettuce or whatever, you know, didn't get cleaned properly. In the United States, we probably have about close to 500 deaths due to salmonella, often someone who is sick and then gets a salmonella infection on top of it. So 450 deaths. And about, we get about 1.5 million cases. In Kenya, 45,000 children die from salmonella every year because the salmonella there is resistant to 70% of the antibiotics, where here we'll see salmonella, it's resistant to maybe 2-3% of antibiotics.
So, Doc, that first of all, that's staggering, and yep, it's awful and on a million levels. But there's been a couple of times in the last few years where I've been sick and I go to the doctor and they tell me, you know, I'm not going to give you a Z-Pak yet, or like I'm too early in my illness to have it be effective. What is that thinking?
Yeah, it's not so much too early to be effective. So a lot of doctors, and I'm one that's in this boat, you know, I look at a viral infection should really at about day 10, day 14, start to become better. Your body is going to fight that off, whether it's in your sinuses, whether it's in your throat. We know that viruses are going to last about that length of time. If people continue to be sick after day 14 and have fever and their symptoms are getting worse, there's a good chance that that's a bacterial infection, and that's the time to try antibiotics. Certainly, we'll do strep tests, and if we do a strep test on your throat and there's strep found, we're going to treat you right away.
Right.
But a lot of the other illnesses that we have are viruses. Now, some viruses say, oh, my viral infection turned into a bacterial infection. And that's somewhat true, somewhat false. It's not that the virus changed to a bacteria. It's just that the virus caused so much congestion that it allowed bacteria to multiply, and now the bacteria is the dominant organism causing the infection.
Okay.
So let's circle back and review here. Measles, a huge deal in New York. It could be a huge deal here. Could be a huge deal everywhere if you don't get vaccinated. If you need it, if you're a baby boomer, do you need a booster or a redo?
You possibly could, and it depends, you know, where you're at, what you're going to be. Are you around any anti-vaxxers? And if you're really concerned, you look at your records, because a lot of you, if you went to high school and college, some of those schools required it, so they made you get that second dose much later. But also, a doctor can run a simple blood test if you really are concerned, saying you're going to be around kids and you want to know. We can tell you what your immunity is.
And there are no zero studies that say vaccinations cause autism or other horrific developments in the last 50 years of society that have been blamed on vaccines.
Correct. You know, there's been thousands and thousands that have proven that it does not. So really, do not use that. And like, you know, we were talking, you know, look at the number of deaths that we have prevented because of vaccines, whether it's something like measles all the way up to influenza. So, vaccines are good. They just teach our immune system how to fight something that's foreign.
Congratulations, Tiger Woods. I don't know if you've heard of him, Doc. Pretty incredible story yesterday. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in sports.
it was pretty wild. And hey, Steve, a shout out to Chris Smith, our good buddy. Today's his birthday. Welcome Champions Tour to Chris Smith.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
And of course, BYOE, bring on the exemptions. It's something like that. Yes. I didn't get the acronym quite right.
That's what we want. And who won? Who won the WGN morning show?
Well, so funny that you should ask that, Kevin. Steve Cochran and Mary Vandeveld are the only ones who picked Tiger Woods. However, we also have two other picks in the draw, and Mary Vandeveld's picks did better than Steve's.
Woohoo!
So Mary
How
Vandeveld.
About that?
Is that two in a row for Mary?
That's two in a row. She won the national championship thing. So I think
two pizzas for me.
Right. And I think tomorrow our boss, Todd Manley, is going to be naming Mary Vandeveld director of sports at WGN.
Director
Radio.
Of gambling.
Good. Congratulations, Mayor. It's all yours. Have
sleep
fun.
In, sleep in, Dave. Ooh,
yeah. I, that's
handle
fine.
Sports. This
no
is awesome.
Problem.
You can have traffic.
Yeah.
Especially today.
I'm good. I'm good.
Somebody should take it. Doc, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. Take care, guys.
And by the way, Mary, speaking of the nightmare on the roads, do you have any idea why it's so bad today?
No, other than the fact that slippery conditions were unexpected. Black ice happened this morning. Temperature, you know, stayed the same. A lot of roads were not cleared. A lot of secondary roads were not plowed because the trucks have changed to their... you know, they took the apparatus off of the trucks to use them for other things in some of the cities and villages already, so they don't have any salt trucks anymore. It's not funny, but that's what happened. That's what I've heard.
Full traffic update coming up in just a second. In the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Many doubted we ever see it, but here it is. Yeah! The return to glory.
That's the usually overdramatic, appropriately overdramatic Jim Nance yesterday, as Tiger Woods did the impossible, came back from a broken back, and I mean like a broken back. They have his spine fused, amongst other surgeries, and came back to get himself physically and, more importantly, in golf, mentally in shape enough to win yesterday. Well, others, younger others, collapsed around him.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Francesco Molinari because he pulled a Cochran on the 12th hole and flopped one in the or on the 13th hole and flopped one in the water.
I don't think you own that, by the way.
Oh, that's not a that's
yeah,
not a Cochran?
It's not. No, I think there's plenty who share that with you.
And on the 15th, he had a wedge that went a little too high, clipped a tree branch, also in the water. So a couple double bogeys, and he went from the lead to done. I think a lot of people expected Dustin Johnson, who sort of snuck up on everybody. Suddenly you look up, he's one shot back to make a run and close the deal, but he finished weakly. It's funny because the back nine at Augusta, you know my personal experience, the back nine at Augusta, you get through 10 and 11 are tough. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, that's the money holes. And then 17 and 18, it's just hold on. And so many guys, when it's a tight field, and it's one of the best leaderboards you'd ever see this weekend, fade on 17 and 18. The 18th hole, I've been to Augusta a couple of times until he threw me out. And I've never played it, but though I am certainly open to invitations. I'll leave now. But the 18th hole, the tee box from the back, you have to hit a slight cut drive about 300 yards straight uphill. And then you're in position to hit short to a mid-iron to a green that's got two tiers and is difficult to hold. And then you got a couple of putts to win the Masters. So Tiger was unbelievable. He was the Tiger of old. He may never win again, or he may win everything again.
Yeah.
But we all love a comeback story. Regardless of what you think of what he did with his personal life or what he brought on himself, yesterday was a great American story.
Look, if he had never won again, his place in history was sealed, but there was sort of unfinished business. I think that's how he would have been seen in years from now. I think people would have looked at that and said, this guy had so much talent, so much
potential. Yeah, you remember for the last thing he did.
He was at the, this, I think, changes the entire narrative now. And now, you know, the way they've changed the schedule, Steve, the PGA is just a few weeks away.
Right.
So he'll be the favorite, I would think.
Absolutely.
Going to Bethpage Black, where he's already won a major.
Yeah, and he's set up to win at least one, if not two more, if he's playing as well as he did this weekend.
He's got 3 years and 11 majors left to beat the 18, you know, get to 18, like
3 years and 11 majors, you mean, before Jack wrapped his up at 46?
Yeah. So
Jack said he was scared yesterday.
Yeah.
They got a hold of him in Florida, and he said, I'm scared.
I love that he was fishing.
Yeah, bone fishing is what Nance said.
Yeah. He was, and then he was in the on the post game, and he said, I was shaking in my boots, and live from on the Golf Channel, watching that. He was in the Bahamas, is where they were fishing, actually. But did you see, I don't know if you watched, Brooks's post-round interview with Amanda Baleonis, but he was, like, giddy that Tiger beat him. You know, like, they were all, Francesco wasn't all that giddy, because he doesn't get giddy, but, like, Ricky Fowler, after he's like, they were so... They were impressed and excited, and they were in the field.
Dave and I are old enough to remember when Tiger was a kid. Tiger's one of the old guys on tour now, and he's a living, walking statue. And the idea that you could be one of the greats in the game and be a part of being inside the ropes and watching history be made like that was great. Now, what was my favorite part? When his son came up and hugged
him. Absolutely.
And by the way, being the rock that I am... Mm-hmm. I was a basket case, man, when I saw that.
When Nance says, "If how do you not shed a tear if you're a parent?"
He was talking to me.
He was talking to all of us.
Oh,
I mean, not just you, Steve. Again, it's not just about...
We got to remember, I choke up at bad Hallmark commercials.
But I was watching, and I hate golf.
I thought Jim
Nance, the numbers are going to be phenomenal.
I thought Jim Nance was so good yesterday, putting it into perspective.
Oh, and just,
you know, the last few holes, because, look, it wasn't over yet, but you could see it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the cool part, there's been, going back to Tiger's first couple of years where he was winning big, and everyone would say, oh, the media is fixated on Tiger Woods, and all these other talented guys out there on the tour, and they're not paying any attention to them. They're only paying attention to Tiger Woods. But if you saw the gallery, the patrons at Augusta yesterday, lining
crowds
the
fairways,
every time he did anything,
they hugged each other.
Just when he was walking up, just watching them rise to their feet for him. There's nobody in golf who commands that sort
of numbers,
reaction.
The numbers, I'm interested to see the numbers, because they're going to be through the roof. Our friend Eric Edelstein was there this weekend, so we'll talk to him later this week.
Matt Nagy was there. See that with his
Matt
son?
Matt Nagy with his son, yeah.
We also got to the bottom of why he was chewing the gum. He said in his post-round interview, it keeps him from eating during the round.
Yeah, and I don't know why that's a problem.
I don't know.
Most guys eat during a round at some point.
Yeah, he said he eats so much, and so he's losing like 4 to 6 pounds now. When he plays,
he could say he's really let himself go.
he really does look amazing, because he's old enough to have the dad gut now, the dad pooch, and he's just rock solid.
Yep.
The interesting thing is going to be how this affects the game. Everybody goes, here we go. Golf's been in a slump for years. Now you're going to start seeing courses be built. Kids are going to want to play again. Hold your breath. Times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
If Tiger wins two or three more, anything's possible. But he's not the cool young guy. He's now the amazing, legendary old guy. And I'm not sure that translates to 15, 16, 17-year-olds who don't want to take the time or experience the aggravation of playing golf. Nobody loves golf more than me. But it's a super hard game to play well, and it takes too long. And that's going to be the block in or continues to be the block in bringing new people into the game.
It's one other point about what Nance said about the kids, because you have these young players now who, as you said, Steve, I mean, Tiger's the old guy,
mm-hmm.
but there's some guys now who are playing against him who were coming up, and he was already a legend.
There's guys who yesterday who were on the leaderboard with him who got into golf because of Tiger Woods.
That's the point. Yeah. And as they pointed out, now you see these kids in the gallery seeing this and being attracted to the game. I think it will help the game.
Oh, it'll definitely help the game. But I don't think we're going to see the explosion that we saw from 96 to 2006.
Maybe not.
I hope we do. But I'm just not sure that's going to happen, because yesterday was certainly great for the game of golf. You know, yesterday was great for America, Dave, because it was a great news story. We have so much crap swirling around in our lives, and here was a great news story about a great comeback. You know, the guy's got all the money in the world. It wasn't about winning money. It was about a guy who was broken down, who went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, climbing back up that mountain and getting it done again.
Unbelievable.
Amazing story.
Yep. And his girlfriend was wearing a cold shoulder top, which is one of Dave Vanette's
favorites. I thought
favorites.
About that when I saw that, Dave.
I thought those were out of style now.
Well, she not for Dave.
She was wearing it, and Dave Vanette loves them.
That's so. Never out of style.
She always
never
wears that style. Hat, too, doesn't she?
Yeah, what's a sun hat? You know, it's for
she
stylish.
Always wears that black hat,
yeah.
It seems.
Yeah. And I don't know if you caught Tiger's interview, but Tiger's daughter lost a state soccer tournament on Saturday.
Yeah. Sam.
So Tiger did what anyone would do with their own private plane. He said, why don't you come to the Masters?
Oh, yeah, she didn't fly commercial?
I'm pretty sure she didn't get on the nearest Frontier jet. It's 722. I do that sometimes. Like, I'll say, listen, call my pilot, and I'll say, listen, could you fly in and get Abigail and bring her out to me? Yeah, okay.
People, here's the thing. Can I have your attention, please, people?
The most famous.
Amazing.
Just great.
So great.
Awesome.
You rock my world.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
All right, joining us today, this is a repeat guest, so the guy must be good. And I've spent a little time with him, and he is. Former Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill joins us. Yeah, you're not a former Navy SEAL. Once a Navy SEAL, always a Navy SEAL, right?
You know what? I don't believe that. That's more of a Marine Corps thing. Once a Marine, always a Marine. I'm a big believer that you go in there, you do your part, do what the country asks, and then it ends.
All right.
I'm very, very proud of what happened. I couldn't be more proud of the men and women of whom I serve. But now, you know, there is what next, and it's time to do stuff. And that's actually why I started the Foundation of Your Grateful Nation. Is you need, you know, you're in the Navy for a few years, the Army for a few years, but you sign a 30-year mortgage, you need to get a job to keep the lights on.
Understandable. I want to talk about a book that's yours, and obviously about your life, and I think most people by now know your name, and all want to thank you for what you've done for this country. Having said all that, let's talk about Your Grateful Nation first. What is it?
Sure. Well, like I just mentioned, it's sometimes it's time to get out, whether it's leaving as you retire or leaving before you retire. People need to get a second job. I got out of the Navy just under 17 years, so there's no pension. There must be 20, which I knew, but it's quite scary. A lot of veterans would rather go back to combat than fill out a resume because combat makes sense to them, and they don't realize what they offer to the private sector. But even guys without college degrees learn how to solve problems, work as a team, stress management. Loyalty is a big one, just motivation. And a lot of companies, especially with some of the people coming out of these universities right now, a lot of these companies don't care about degrees. They want these types of people. They can train them how to do the job in about 6 to 9 months, which they do, which Your Grateful Nation helps special operators get those, you know, find out where they want to live, what industry they want to be in, introduce them to the company, give them mentorship, and then they turn into some of the best employees these employers have ever had. So it's quite a transition. It's interesting to learn that life does not end when your military career is over. And the way that I describe it to people is, you know, when you're in high school, that's the most important thing in your life. And then you go to college and high school is over and college is the most important thing in your life. For the military, that's all there is. Like with us, it was the SEAL teams, the Brotherhood, it's the Marine Corps. But it ends and you need to move on. There's a lot of life after that and you need to keep providing for families, and that's what Your Grateful Nation does.
Well, and I think most people, including me, prior to getting in touch with the folks at YGN, didn't understand how little, and I, you know, listen, I'm not knocking the system, I just think we could be better, but how little we do with the great training we provide. Not just special operators, but all soldiers and sailors and airmen and airwomen when they come home, because we let that training go to waste and just say, well, good luck to you. Go find a job. And
that's true. And you can't really blame them, because in my case, the Navy didn't have interest in me anymore. I'm not going to provide anything for them. They trained me up. And, you know, it takes a little while, but I learned, you know, I don't know the Navy anything. I gave them everything I had, but the Navy doesn't owe me anything either. So so there's no real transition support. That's why Your Grateful Nation started. So I'm working now with Colonel Rob Carrillo, who's a Green Beret colonel, obviously. I was a Navy SEAL. We have pretty much every branch in there, and it's awesome. That's the best email I get, hopefully twice a week, is from either a veteran or a spouse saying, now we have our second career and we couldn't have done it without Your Grateful Nation. And it's so cool just to watch. And these are men and women who have been to war for decades, and they get out of the private sector and they realize how qualified they are and how much they're actually worth. Do they get paid? Oh, and on the other end, they also learn what their fair share in taxes is.
Now you can help in a number of different ways, because your Grateful Nation does everything from helping a special operator figure out how to do a resume, maybe for the first time, all the way to the mentorship you mentioned, and checking into making sure their new employers and they are accomplishing their goals. We know the success rate once you get somebody lined up with a gig, but people can volunteer to help. There's various events around the country. People driving to work now who run companies, you could certainly look into hiring one of these special operators or mentoring. Or obviously, if you'd like to send some money, they'll be happy to take it. So what's the website for YGN?
YourGratefulNation.org.
And there's a cool party. The Chicago Torch Party is May 8th at 6 p.m. at it's cocktails and dinner at the University Club of Chicago. It's an evening with former SEAL Team 6 Rob O'Neill. So you can
that is
that.
Me, and I will be there, and it's going to be a great time. And again, with YourGratefulNation.org, it's everything from checking it out, raising awareness, telling some friends about it. If people are hiring, you're going to get like special operations pilots or Army Ranger, a Green Beret, a Navy SEAL, and this is there. You know, and obviously, I did find out how expensive it is to run a nonprofit. So donations always help, but word of mouth, and this is just getting. It's not just making the veteran better; it's making the company better, which makes our economy better. We're putting great people into the workforce.
May 8th, 6 p.m. You can go to that website and find out more details. And obviously, Rob, I don't know if we've worked out details yet on this, but we want you to come in when you're in town and sit in with us.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'd love to. Hey, are you coming to the Torch Party or what? I was told you were invited. Awesome. So, yeah, we'll work that out. I'll come into the studio.
Yeah, all right. Now, just for a second here, because we'll do this more justice than it obviously deserves when you're in for a longer period. The book is called The Operator, Firing the Shots That Killed Osama Bin Laden, My Years as a SEAL Team Warrior. Robert O'Neill, you can order it off robertjoneill.com and get it wherever books are sold. What's your life like these days after the word came out, after you wrote the book, and after people know who you are?
It has been, a roller coaster, but my name came out right after it happened in small circles, and that would have been Virginia Beach, Coronado, San Diego, California, D.C., and parts of New York. And then little things, you know, I got out of the Navy. I donated stuff to the 9/11 Museum. I got to know a lot of the families that lost loved ones, a lot of first responders that were there, you know, Port Authority, police, obviously FDNY and NYPD. And just they were able to get a name with a face for a little bit, not closure. There never will be closure, but with the healing process. And I sort of came out just because I've assumed risk, personal risk before, and if I can help thousands of people with the healing, then I'll do that. So it's good. You know, I started the Grateful Nation, the platform that I've been given because of the big mission. You know, I'm able to raise awareness of other veterans, because there are men and women that have way more dangerous jobs than I did. They're out there right now, the Marines that are driving through Helmand Province in Afghanistan and the people patrolling, still in Syria, even going to lunches we've seen with the suicide bombers. They're out there, and this just raises awareness that there are brave men and women out there fighting. So I'm able to do that. Hopefully I get on TV and radio like this to get a little sanity into what's going on, as far as I see it anyway. And then I do public speaking, corporate events, things like that. And if you go to robertjoneill.com, you'll get a personalized signed copy of The Operator.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a great book, too. It's not about, you know, it's not calling myself The Operator. It's The Operator, the life of The Operator, meaning the Ranger, the Green Beret, the Marine, normal people from normal places in the United States that just work hard, don't quit, believe in each other, and then as long as you avoid the negativity, you can do anything you want. That book's basically about a fat white kid from Montana who couldn't swim that became a Navy SEAL because he got dumped by a girl and one day ended up in Osama bin Laden's bedroom.
The power of being dumped by a girl. It really can change your life in positive ways as well. It's good to have you as a friend of the show. And I always tell you to be safe, because there's a lot of bad people in the world who would like to hurt you as well. I know you're not worried about it, but we worry about it for you. And we look forward to you getting in here.
Thanks for all you do with YGN. Keep in mind, there are also a lot of really good people in the world.
Of course. Thank God there's more of those.
They're out there, and a lot of them are wearing badges right now, so keep them in mind. Blue Lives Matter, too.
All right, we're going to see you on May 8th, 6 p.m., and we'll have you on the show day after, whatever. Thank you, Rob.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
It's the guy that killed Osama bin Laden. That's the guy. That's him.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the one. Well, I guess we covered that. We'll come back with your headlines in a second on 720 WGN.
The big thing is, if Democrats, including the mayors and members of Congress in these communities, want these individuals, they should be helping the president, frankly, look for solutions to bring them to their communities instead of fighting the president every step of the way. Let's work together. Let's solve the crisis at the border, and let's figure out how it doesn't make a massive impact on any one particular community like we're seeing in a lot of the border towns.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You can't make that okay. I mean, certainly we determined a long time ago that Ms. Huckabee Sanders doesn't have any mirrors in her home. Good God, how could you look into them based on what she says every day? But you can't, Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN, you can't make that okay. You can't make it okay that you specifically, as President of the United States, said, as a political stunt, I'm going to take human beings and I'm going to bus them to Chicago and L.A. and San Francisco and drop them off. It's ridiculous.
Steve, and I think the other point about that is it's a purely political move. It's just designed to gin up the president's base. You know, when I first saw this report, it was great reporting by the Washington Post that initially got the story out there. You know, there was obviously a lot of, you know, upset people in many circles who thought that this was, you know, how could you ever propose something like this? And then I took a step back and thought, this is the kind of thing that is going to play really well with Donald Trump's base. You know, there's an easy, like, A plus B equals C equation here. If you're a Trump supporter, like you, you know, Trump supporters very much hate the idea of sanctuary cities. They're very much opposed to the idea of people coming across the border. So let's put those two things together, and it's a win-win situation. So I'm not surprised at all that after this story leaked out that the White House has embraced it, because I think in terms of their political base and what makes their supporters you know, continue to passionately get behind the president are policies just like these. And I, you know, I think it's something that plays big into the 2020 election in terms of, you know, how the president fires people up, because this is exactly the kind of thing he's talking about on a regular basis.
Well, he's got to hope that there's going to be a very small turnout in 2020, which there's not. It'll be huge. And he's also got to hope that the Democrats somehow find a way to put up a candidate who runs as bad a campaign as Hillary Clinton did. Also unlikely, though right now, if one more person enters the Democratic race, that'll be everybody in the country. We'll get to that in a second. But first, this just happened a couple of hours ago, and I think it's important news from the president. And Ryan, I wanted to mention it to you. Donald Trump on Twitter 2 hours ago. What do I know about branding? Maybe nothing, but I did become president. But if I were Boeing, I would fix the Boeing 737 MAX, add some additional great features, rebrand the plane with a new name. No product has suffered like this one. But again, what the hell do I know? What even spurs that? Why? Where does that come from?
It's so funny you brought that tweet up, because I'm actually traveling across the Midwest and into Pennsylvania today following Bernie Sanders' campaign, and my producer, Bonnie Capp, saw that tweet this morning, and she said, what is the president even talking about here?
Right.
Like, where does this come from that he wakes up in the morning with all the responsibilities and issues that the president of the United States is dealing with, that this is what he decided to tweet about? And also, oh, by the way, doesn't he have a line to Boeing if he wants to talk to them about seriously coming up with a way to fix this problem? I'm pretty sure he can get the CEO on the phone. He doesn't need to tweet out his thoughts about it.
Right.
And then there's even a bigger issue about what does this mean about the way the FAA handled this situation and the investigation into finding the root cause of this problem. Isn't that more important than the branding of the aircraft and their ability to sell it after this scandal and controversy has lifted? I mean, there's a number of different ways that you could dissect this tweet, and none of them really make all that much sense.
Now, one of the additional features he's hoping to add to the redo of the plane is, along with your oxygen mask, a KFC chicken breast would drop down on a string as well during the flight, and make sure you eat yours before you pass one on to someone else.
Speaking of KFC, it is chicken and waffle time right now. You can get chicken and waffles at KFC.
But you don't eat it. You just think about it.
I'm just thinking about it, yeah. But I thought of Steve Grzanich, actually.
All right, so Ryan, stand by. When we come back, Mayor Pete, tax day. and Congresswoman Omar, Ryan Nobles from CNN. Sandberg, what are you giving away?
I have a family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox play Baltimore Orioles. The game is April 30th. Tune in every Monday at 7:50 for a chance to win tickets to a White Sox game. Visit whitesox.com for schedule and ticket information. And I'm going to give them away to the seventh caller right now.
Ryan Nobles rejoins us. In the interest of time, Ryan, let me just go right to tax day. I'm sure since the rest of us have to get our taxes in today, President Trump will release his today. That's probably not naive of me, is it?
Well, he may release them to someone, but I don't think he's going to release them to all of us. Yeah, I mean, this is going to continue to be something that's dogging the president and his administration. There are clearly some Democrats on Capitol Hill who are going to use every power they have at their disposal to try and get these taxes in front of the American people. And it also seems very clear that President Trump's going to do everything he can to stand in the way of it. You know, Steve, I ultimately think that this is a decision that's going to be made by the Supreme Court, and it could set a precedent for how we handle the public transparency of a president's financial background. And, if, you know, the Supreme Court, and it may even come down to a simple swing vote of John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who's going to say this is something the American public has the right to see, or it's something that they don't. And I think you're going to see that really have long-lasting impact. And, you know, we're even seeing it on the Democratic side. You know, Kamala Harris released 15 years of taxes over the weekend. We are hoping that Bernie Sanders releases his tax returns today. I mean, this was something that was pretty much a standard price of entry to become president of the United States.
As it should be.
And Trump's changed the game on that. Yeah.
All right. Safe travels, my friend. Say hi to Bernie and tell him to comb his hair.
All right, I'll do that. You guys have a great week.
That's the great Ryan Nobles, and we're back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
at 11 in the morning, and let's go live to Channel 9, where Dean Richards is standing by. Hello, fellow moron.
Humming it up. So this is what I had happen to me over the weekend. I was at the Star Wars celebration, good part of the weekend, you know, covering it. And
I'm covering it. You were just there for the fun.
I like to dress up.
Yeah.
I like to dress up in my Princess Leia outfit.
It's a hot look for you.
So, you know, there are thousands of people waiting to get into this venue or that venue. And, you know, we're interviewing people. And then I hear coming out of the crowd, you know, somebody will shout, "Hey, moron!"
It's really sweet, really, when you think about it, the way the people have connected with the morons, you and I.
I'm at an event that Mother Guerin High School was putting on. A friend of mine.
How is Mother Guerin?
Well, she's fine. She's fine, thank you. Mm-hmm. They were honoring some of their alumni, and a friend of mine, Jane Hayden, was honored. And they had a very nice banquet honoring the alumni of Mother Guerin. And, you know, the event's going on, and people are coming up to the table. They just sort of, like, lean over on me and go, "Hi, moron."
You know, you can't stop the roll. I too, this
can't
weekend,
stop.
Had a similar experience, except I was pulling into a parking space at Jewel and inadvertently cut somebody off, and they went, "Hey, moron!"
Oh, well, that may be in a more organic...
Oh, you don't think that's the same?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe they just enjoy the segment also.
We need to thank Brad Most. Brad Most spent a lot of time tracking down somebody who bought into the dream that is Moron Entertainment. And it's come up with a First Pass logo for us.
Oh, very nice.
We're talking to Cindy today, as a matter of fact. But the way I envision this is we could do a test run of T-shirts with our Moron logo on it and sell those for a charity. So
that would be nice.
And the charity, of course, would be the Moron Foundation, benefiting you and I. No,
that's
not true. But that's the casual plan. But anyway, thanks to Brad Most.
What would the T-shirts say that I'm a moron? Something like that?
Yeah, but everything would be spelled wrong. I was thinking more, I'm with moron, you know, with an arrow.
Each of you have one.
Right.
Yeah.
But the arrow is pointing at yourself.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it depends. Maybe it rotates, depending on if you're walking alone. so you could have it go straight up, right?
I'm really inspired after this Star Wars convention this weekend. I'm saying in like a year or two that we could take over McCormick Place for a big moron convention.
Can you imagine that crowd?
If you're
it
a
would
moron,
be a moron celebration, Dean.
Yeah, moron celebration. You're right.
All right, now, Sandberg had a bozo experience this weekend. I don't know what it is, but she's going to tell us now.
So, Dean, I was eating dinner with my husband on Saturday at Hole in the Wall, which is a restaurant in Northbrook. It's a little tiny Italian restaurant that's been there forever. Frank Gallo's the owner. His daughter, Lucy, she, like, runs the whole place.
You getting free dinner for that plug, by the way?
No, I do not get free dinner.
You will next time.
No, I don't want free dinner. It's the best food. I don't want anything to mess up our experience when we go there. It is so perfect.
I'm trying to figure out how free dinner would mess up your experience.
It is. If you could go there and pay for your dinner, but get to go for me and Steve.
For
that free. Would be there. But a lot of people have always gone there. Like, we were at table 10. There's only 15 tables. That was it. But Ron Santo would always come in and sit at table 10. It's some storied, you know. So a lot of he knows a lot of people, Frank. He's a great guy. He knows a lot of people. His daughter, Lucy, here out of nowhere says how she got to go to the Bozo show twice.
Twice
growing up because Frank knows people. And I'm like,
hold on. Are you telling me the Bozo fix was in?
Yeah.
Are you telling me people of influence would be able to cut the line with their kids?
Yes.
Are you telling me we got an Aunt Becky going on, Bozo?
Exactly.
An Aunt Becky Bozo scandal?
I'm like, I was telling Lucy, my sister and I sent in postcards, and we would wait to see if our name would even just be called for an at-home player. You know, that's all I wanted, like, out of the
Let me tell you something. Screw Aunt Becky. This is a much bigger story. Dean, was this happening?
I'd like to speak to my attorney first.
I thought my she goes your childhood dreams were crushed and I got to go twice and I didn't even appreciate it, you know, because she was probably getting to a lot
I'm
of
I'm just
things.
Getting word that Lori Loughlin's grandmother spent $500,000 to get Lori Loughlin's mother in line at the grand prize game.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And so I knew Dean knows Bozo people.
Well, you know, Mike Hamernick, the meteorologist, his dad was in the Bozo Big Top Band. He was there all the time as a kid.
Did he ever get to play the grand prize game?
I don't think so.
No. I like that he was there all the time.
He describes that he was his dad's roadie, that he would help his dad. His dad was the drummer. So he, you know, was lugging drum kits for his dad, but he would hang out in the control room and, I guess, hang out in the studio just as a kid. But how cool is that? Every kid in the world wanted to go to Bozo, and he got to go all the time.
Here I am. I'm a 43-year-old adult in 2019, and I was like, getting gaga as she's telling me how she was there twice and how cool it was.
Did you have your heart sink because you didn't have a fair shot that your slot was taken?
I did. I did.
Yeah, I would imagine if you knew like a sponsor or there may have been some favoritism for...
But don't try to make this better.
You know, like if you were paying for the show to go on the air...
Don't try to make this okay. You know how wrong this is.
Friend of Bob Bell, Bozo himself, that he may have been able to influence.
Can you imagine how many times Bob Bell was asked, hey, can you get my kid in?
Yeah, people are still asking his kids.
The texter from the 847 said, yep, it happened. My dad knew Ringmaster Ned, and so they got to go.
See, there you go. We're cracking the shell on the great Bozo scandal.
I told them about the postcard, though, the postcard of you guys tracking down the person in Florida.
Yep.
Bozo Gate 2019.
It's as relevant as ever.
You know that guy that just got arrested and is going to go to jail for taking the test? It's part of the scandal, the college admission scandal. He was the guy from Harvard. He was paid, I don't know, $10,000 every time he took an SAT for a kid. They're somewhere in Chicago right now, Dean. There's somebody who was paid $10 to stand in line for a little privileged little snot-nosed kid who didn't want to stand in line for their turn that they shouldn't have gotten in the first place.
I heard that there is somebody that they found who actually got into the school on their own merits.
What?
There's a scandal. If you ask me.
Not in L.A. Doesn't happen in L.A. All right, when we come back, Dean.
You probably want to know all the details about my weekend in Nerdsville, USA.
I do, and also a Game of Thrones recap. I'm the only one in America that's apparently never watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Same here.
So it's you and I and Dave.
I read a survey over the weekend that said 30% of the people think that Game of Thrones is the greatest thing ever. Now, I'm no mathematician, but doesn't that mean that 70% does not think that?
Yeah, I mean, 30% of the people think Trump's a good president. So I'm not tying the two together, but Coachella redo or recap?
Night.
BTS was on Saturday Night Live, and it couldn't have looked more out of place, but I guess it was a big hit. and Dean on Star Wars, all coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Remember, he's not Yoda. He's Olga.
Man, pro and steady.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9 spent the whole weekend with his Star Wars friends.
Did I? Yes.
Boy, it'd be great if he had sound.
Well, you know, here are the big highlights for the weekend. Of course, on Friday is when they revealed not only the title of the next Star Wars movie, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, but they also showed a teaser trailer of it in the Wintrust Arena. 7,000 people there, and they show this trailer, and the roof exploded off the place. It was amazingly electrifying. I gotta say, I got a little emotional watching it. It was cool. We've got it up online if you still haven't seen it, if you're interested. But we also had a chance to talk with some of the stars of the movie and the director himself, J.J. Abrams.
Being back in Chicago is such a treat. And as a fan of the city, as a fan of WGN, as a fan of Star Wars, it's sort of a weird perfect storm.
Well, it was a very visceral kind of experience. I think very emotional. I mean, I was in tears from the reaction. And I just felt very good about it. I mean, what else can you feel when you get a reaction like that?
What do you think the special affection is for this character?
I think if people are fond of Chewie, it's because basically he's incredibly vulnerable. He's all hoity-toity telling everybody what to do, but actually underneath it, he's really quite scared, and he's nervous for people, he's nervous for himself.
R2-D2, where are you? At last, where have you been?
C-3PO.
So,
Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, and that was Billy Dee Williams before that. The great Lando Calrissian is going to be back in this next episode that comes out in December, by the way.
Remember when I had Billy Dee on a couple of years ago? And
I remember something didn't go well.
Well, it was pre-scheduled by Billy Dee's people, and we called Billy Dee, and nobody answered at the prescribed time, and we called him again, nobody answered, and waited a couple minutes, called him again, and he answered, and I said, Billy Dee, thanks for coming on. He goes, man, it's kind of early, don't you think, Steve? What? You booked this. What do you mean it's kind of early? But I understand.
A lot of times they don't know.
I understand he's doing fine. He's healthy, and I hope he's great in this movie.
He's 82 years old. He's walking with a cane, but otherwise he looks great. And when he talks, he's got that, bravado and swagger, that Billy Dee Williams bravado and swagger. After the interviews, I went out and bought some Colt 45. Remember, it used to be the spokesperson
for that. And a diamond-encrusted cane. Be a good look for you.
Yeah. It's a good look for him. I'll tell you what, he's still the king of cool. That's for sure.
And of all the people at the Star Wars convention, who is your favorite nerd?
Oh, wow. Where do you even start with that? There's like 70,000 of them there.
That's crazy.
It was crazy, but there was this lovely kind of brotherhood, sisterhood. People were there to have fun and enjoy it. And I got to say, as easy as it would be to make fun of all this, it was actually a really, really fun time. It was a good time.
Well, that's great.
One of our ladies in charge here, Julie Stern, she went and she said it was fun and had a lot of good picture ops, but she felt the lines and organization could use some tweaking.
Well, she's like a drill sergeant. I'm sure she wasn't happy with the organization. Yeah. Organization is her job.
There's a lot of people. I mean, don't go to something where there's 70,000 people and expect that you're going to be the first one in. There were people. When I went for this event where they revealed the new trailer, people were waiting in line at 4 o'clock in the morning to get into that.
Oh my gosh.
For something that wasn't even going to begin until 11. So, I mean, their fans they're dedicated.
I'm not sure I'd wait in line 7 hours for a life-saving blood transfusion.
Hey, we have a listener from the 307 that is suggesting that the morons and the girlfriends have a joint convention together.
Oh. Yeah, you know, as much respect as Kathy and Judy had for me, I bet they'll be all over that.
Yeah, I like that. The girlfriends,
the girlfriends on one side of the auditorium, the morons on the other.
Right. Yeah, and then we do a really awkward, bad dating game.
Yeah, you go talk to her. I don't know what to say. I have nothing to say. Hi. Do you like candy?
I know several times Kathy and Judy got these horrible headaches because they were trying not to have their eyes roll every time they talked to me. All right, so Saturday Night Live, BTS. This is the Korean supergroup.
This is the Korean boy band that Steve has become regional vice president of, right. Their fan club. Take a listen. Catchy, ain't it?
Is that Skippy? I think that's Skippy, right? The lead singer?
That is Harpo, Zeppo, Lucy, and Ricky.
They are a phenomena.
Every day I become more like my dad. I remember when we watched the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and my dad looked up from his newspaper and goes, "What the hell's that?"
They're never going to amount to anything. Not with hair like that.
Yeah, you can tell they're not very popular. They've got two sold-out shows at Soldier Field, May, I think it's 11th and 12th.
Can I ask a stupid question?
New album's coming out this week also.
Did they sing exclusively in English or occasionally in English? Or how does that work?
I believe they occasionally sing phonetically in English, yes.
Okay. But a lot of the songs, I think, are in Korean, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said they were lining up on Thursday,
yep,
for SNL.
To get into NBC.
For standby tickets.
Yep.
I think all the girls who are there, they should have to scream in Korean. Just so the band understands.
I'm only sorry that after I got done with the nerds at the Star Wars convention that I didn't have time to go to that.
So last night I was going to watch Veep and I was going to watch Billions, but instead I went outside, I caught and skinned a bear and put on a bear pelt and tried to watch Game of Thrones. Was that a good move by me?
Did you watch it?
No. Of course I didn't watch it.
I didn't either.
No.
I know a lot of people like it.
People love it.
I've tried to watch a couple of times. I just have no interest in any of this.
No.
I know people like it. It's not for me.
The brothers and sisters having sex, and I know it was hard to get around back then, but honestly, you couldn't find anybody else. And then you got the Walking Dead army of, like, excessively white people. I there's so much crap going on, I couldn't begin to tell you.
I've read every. There's spoilers all over the internet, so if you are interested in it and you haven't watched it yet, I would try to avoid the internet for a little while because people are kind of enjoying spoiling, you know, and putting things on there that probably shouldn't be. What I found most interesting from last night was that at the Music Box Theater, they showed it on big screen. So hundreds of fans got together at the Music Box last night in costume because those are the only people that I know how to report on this past weekend. If you're not in a costume, I'm not interested in you. they all got together and they watched it as a group and then had a, you know, post-show discussion. And
don't you have to pay for that? Some special licensing fee or something?
Yes, you do. Otherwise, HBO's lawyers will call you.
Right. Well, listen, it's obviously a huge hit. And it's one of those things that if I had watched it from the beginning, I would have stopped by now. I don't know.
It's just not my kind of show, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not, I know, you know, Lord of the Rings, one of the most popular movie franchises ever. If I never see that again, I will be perfectly fine. I was fairly disinterested in the Lord of the Rings movie trilogy. Wasn't especially a fan of the Tolkien books and, you know, all that stuff. And I know I'm in the minority. I know most people do, but it's just not my thing.
You know what I got wrapped up in this weekend? The guy that started Game of Thrones, his middle initials are RR. Why does he have two middle names?
Crazy. Selfish.
I want an answer. And,
no, there's not a single clown in the entire Game of Thrones series.
Well, who's the court jester? They should have one.
Not one.
Don't
clown.
You think? All right. And 219, why the insults on us Star Wars fans? Oh, please, people, listen. It wasn't an insult. It was love.
What was the insult? Calling them nerds?
It was love. Yeah, and by the way, you are nerds.
People the people were proudly wearing that
right.
honor when I was there. They're like proudly they're nerds.
It's not a bad thing.
And by the way, nerds are going to rule all of us.
Well, they already do.
If they aren't already. Yeah.
You think the two guys who invented Google were ex-athletes? I don't think so. I mean, come on. You guys run the world already. Don't get a little thicker skin. On that happy note, Dean, we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Just to see that their computers are working from their mom's basements this morning.
Well, that should help. We'll come back in the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jack Robinson hit that ball. Did he hit it? Boy, and that ain't all.
Cool story. Who wants to hear a cool story? Raise your hand.
I do.
You want to hear a cool story?
Yep.
Anyone else up for a cool story?
I am.
All right.
Does it involve snow?
No. It's
no, it does not.
Oh, good. Okay.
This Monday, the White Sox joining MLB. Is this today or next Monday?
Today.
Today's Jackie Robinson Day?
Yes.
Joining MLB to remember and honor the centennial anniversary of Jackie Robinson's birth. He'd be 100 today. Didn't know that. And several events are scheduled throughout the day, including one with this fine young man, Lance Moon, who joins us now. Good morning, Lance. Hello, Lance. Are you with me, my friend? Sounds like he's there. Lance, are you there, buddy? Let's go back to Lance. Lance, are you with me? We must be having telephone troubles.
We had a little problem when we put Doc Most on. There was a long delay.
That was operator error. And
oh,
I
that was
the operator.
You were the operator. Huh. Okay.
I didn't have to admit that, but I felt I should.
You guys want to check that line for me, please? Okay. And in the meantime, let me tell you a little bit about Lance. He's in sixth grade. He's from Roseland. And he's going to perform the national anthem on his violin today. Now, Lance is hearing impaired, which, by the way, has nothing to do with the phone call we
yeah,
just got.
Yeah, that's a separate issue.
He's hearing impaired, wears aids in both ears. He's a member of our ACE Amateur City Elite 12U team. That's the White Sox charity-supported travel baseball program, which was created to help create pathways to baseball for underserved communities. And by the way, there's going to be a special movie screening of 42 for students. 42 is that great Jackie Robinson biopic, which I believe... Who was the lead? Was it Chadwick Boseman?
I think so.
I think it was Chadwick Boseman.
The worst celebrity rememberer right now.
I think Chadwick Boseman played Jackie Robinson. Where? What's up, boys? We got him? Calling him back right now.
Calling him back. As for that, the White Sox charity-supported baseball program, it's to help reduce the decline of African Americans playing baseball because, you know, baseball has turned into, like many youth sports, you have to have a lot of money to play because now everybody goes to these travel clinics and, you know, where everyone's doing different
And there used to be well-kept
agility.
Diamonds in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's not anymore.
Right.
It was Chadwick Boseman.
Was Chadwick Boseman? Okay. Let me go back to Lance Moon and say good morning, Lance. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I am doing fine. You're a sixth grader.
Yep, I am, actually.
How long have you been playing violin?
I've been playing violin since I was in kindergarten, so about 7 years or so.
Wow. Is that right?
That's impressive.
Yeah. But recently, I had to stop playing. This year, I had to stop playing because, of course, I made White Sox ace, and that took over a little bit of my schedule.
Yeah, you can't practice much if you're playing baseball, right?
Yeah, I really can't.
So what position do you play in baseball?
Well, really, I'm an all-around player, but the main positions I really play is shortstop. Really, shortstop, third, pitcher, catcher.
Okay, you're 10, 11, 12. How old are you?
12.
12 years old. Dave, hit him with some tough sports questions right now.
Well, I want to ask him about the shortstop for the Chicago White Sox, who happens to be the leading hitter in the major leagues right now. Are you a big fan of Tim Anderson?
Yes, actually, I am. He's a really good player. I heard about the grand slam that he had yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy's pretty amazing. Are you a better hitter or fielder, or are they both kind of even?
Than Tim?
Yeah.
It's both kind of even.
And how's school? Because if we made you an offer to join the White Sox now, would you take it?
actually, I wouldn't.
Good man.
I
Good little man right there. Good call by you. All right, so tonight you're going to be playing the national anthem on your violin?
Yep.
How much practice does that take?
Well, it took a lot of work. Of course, it paid off. It sounded pretty good. But after practice, I will always come home, practice for about 30 minutes, and then get enough sleep for the next day.
Good man. Like, this guy's got it all together.
I know.
How's he in
really
sixth grade?
I know. He's pretty impressive. Hey, Lance, have you played the anthem on your violin in any kind of situation like this, like at the White Sox game before?
No, I haven't. This is actually an honor for me to be doing this.
That's what's the biggest crowd you ever played your violin in front of?
About 100 people.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that there tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're, because you know you said the baseball is affecting the violin practice, mm-hmm. you're doing the practice on your own. Does it do you get a little rusty at all, or have you just has it been a seamless transition?
For violin or baseball?
For the violin, because the baseball season just started. Is that correct, or do you practice year round for baseball too?
I practice year round, actually.
Oh wow!
I play fall ball, then I do an entire winter workout till about February, and then I started doing like scrimmage games and stuff like that.
I'll tell you good Lance is. He could wax up the handle on his bat and play it if he didn't have his bow handy. That's how good he is. All right, so I don't suppose you have your violin nearby, do you?
No, I actually don't.
Oh, that's a good call by you, because I was going to ask you to play. But we're excited for you tonight, pal. We really are.
Thank you.
Yeah, and do you have any advice for any other kids who are maybe laying around and not doing all the stuff you're doing? Like, get up and enjoy life?
Yeah, just get up and enjoy life. Live it to the best. Don't let other people affect you. And, yeah, just enjoy.
Go for the gusto. You know what gusto is?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. Dave.
Lance, do you know the history of Jackie Robinson?
Yes, I do.
Tell us something. Tell us a Jackie Robinson fact.
What's not a quiz? Why are you asking Lance to do a quiz?
Well, I'm not quizzing him. No, I didn't mean it that way.
Let's see. I think he was born January 31st in 1919.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so see.
That's correct. Ding, ding, ding.
So this year is the 100th anniversary of his birth. Got it. Okay, it's not today.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Mr. Smarty Pants Dave. You got anything else? How about Dave? You know what, Lance? Ask Dave a question. What do you got for Dave? Ask him a question from sixth grade today. What are you studying in sixth grade right now?
Let's see. What am I studying?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
don't make it too tough, please, Lance.
While Lance is thinking
What's the square root of 36?
Well, it's the square root of 36,
that
Mr.
Would be
tough guy.
Six.
Oh, that's
yep,
six.
You got it right. You got it right.
You know why? Because he went to Northwestern and he cheated.
No, Lance threw out a softball because he wanted Dave to get it right.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. You're my man.
On April 15th, 1947, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier
right.
when he was with the Brooklyn Dodgers. So I think that's why today is Jackie Robinson Day.
Lance Moon, you are a rock star, my friend. Get out there tonight and nail it.
All right.
It's an honor to talk to you, buddy. All the best.
You too.
Take care. It's a cool little dude, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to stay in touch with him. I
got to play the anthem tonight. I haven't practiced all that much, but I'm fine.
Yeah. Right. And what's the square root of 36?
Right.
Sandberg's right. What a softball.
Yeah.
Total softball.
He wanted Dave to look good. That was nice of him, though.
It was nice. Yeah. I mean, he's a good kid.
A good teammate.
You know, what's the capital of Ecuador, and why were they keeping the Julian Assange in the embassy? Things like that.
The Cochran Show. This is the Cochran Show. It's not the whole show like you get every day. It's the shorter version in the podcast way. You must remember less time helps you stay. Yeah, this is the Cochran Show.
See, a podcast thing.
Yeah, this is the podcast show.
Hey, Steve Cochran, Everything Podcast. John, by the way, specifically left out the word everything because he knows I'll change the name again in a week.
You would.
But today,
That's pretty good.
That is good.
He told me that it was pretty good, and I doubted it. But that's my first.
Why would you doubt it? His musical talent's great.
I don't know.
Do you think you should have used one Cochran moment though as the theme for that?
That's pretty strong.
That one is really strong.
All of his music's great.
I know it's all great, but usually the ones that he thinks aren't that good are the ones that are my favorite. You know. So when he said this was good, I thought, uh-oh.
Threw you.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, completely.
Like it.
Today I will be talking on the podcast after the show, which will be up by the middle of the day, to a guest we had in here a couple of weeks ago. We didn't have time to talk to him in great detail, but about a very important topic, and that's the sex trafficking of kids and runaways. His own sister had to be rescued from the same. He's an amazing guy. And I'll talk to him this morning. But there's all sorts of podcast stuff. There's funny stuff, political stuff, serious stuff, sports stuff. It's all up there. I even interviewed Dave in it.
That's right. And then next week, we were able to secure Ross Cochran for the podcast.
He's been bumped several times.
He has been bumped. but he will be coming in as well. But I think Ross is going to interview you.
Yeah. I thought that'd be funny if Ross interviewed me. And he won't throw me any softballs. He's going to go right for it.
Are you billing him as Ross Cochran or as Abigail Grace's dad?
Ooh.
It's a tough call.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ross Cochran. Yeah, I think he's earned it. Yeah. So that's next week. Unless he gets bumped again.
Yeah.
But we don't think he will. We were talking about Jackie Robinson Day a second ago in MLB, and there was a commercial that ran during the Masters, and it's been running a couple of weeks now, maybe longer, and I frankly don't remember the product, but it's about Jackie Robinson's older brother Mac. Mac was 4 years older and finished second to Jesse Owens in the Olympics in Germany while Hitler watched. Mm-hmm. And was 0.4 of a second behind. This is back before you could time things the way you could time them now. Could have been much closer than that. But at any rate, he won the silver medal in the sprint in the Olympics in Germany, which I think was 1932?
36.
In 1936. Jackie Robinson went on to be Jackie Robinson. Mac had, by all accounts, a nice life and a family and stuff. He was a custodian in the L.A. school system for many, many years, and he died, I think, in 2000 at the age of about 88 or so. But an amazing story, and part of the reason Jackie Robinson was such an activist is because he didn't like the way Mac was treated when he came home from the Olympics. When Mac came home from the Olympics, Jackie was already really good at baseball, but he took it to the next level, and he was angry because he thought Mac deserved more than he got. He wasn't taking anything away from Jesse Owens, but Mac was a great athlete, and he was his big brother. That was one of the things that spurred Jackie Robinson on, as the story goes.
Who was it? Ralph Metcalf, who became a congressman, was mm-hmm. also part of the U.S. team that competed there.
Is that right?
Berlin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was on that track team.
And the White Sox, again, honoring Jackie Robinson. And that's tonight. Who the White Sox playing?
They're playing the KC Royals.
Okay, and Lance Moon will do the anthem. We'll come back with your news in just a moment. And hi to everybody at CLTV. Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Steve Cochran,
will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio
on 720 WGN.
Live music. The millennials are going to play here in just a second. You know, we did, you know, Dave, do you remember we played Stump the Millennials?
That was a mainstay on the show.
We haven't had millennials in a while, and even though these guys are technically millennials, the Stump the Millennials questions would work. So let's have them sing, and then let's stump them.
Well, good idea.
Samberg, what's the backstory on these guys?
They were a band that was formed at one of the School of Rock franchises, which is my stepdaughter does the one in Evanston, but there's a lot of them all around. And then they've stuck together, and they're still a band, and you have songs. Songs that we actually like to listen to.
And we're going to meet three who are not playing today, along with the three that are. Lindsay Kent, Michael Hanahan or Hanahan?
Hanahan.
Michael Hanahan and Jonathan. What's Jonathan's last name?
Tatoulis.
Jonathan Tatoulis, Michael Hanahan, and Lindsay Kent. Going to do an original song called Chains now on 720 WGN. This is the Millennials. sitting ovation. Sitting ovation.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And by the way, that's some of the best cajon playing I've ever heard.
A cajon, just so you know, looks like a fruit crate.
Yeah, it does.
Box he's sitting at.
Yeah, Tatulas, can we get you some drums? Maybe raise some money for that? Or?
You know, I'm trying. I'm just playing on the street with my cajon, and then they put, you know, they put a little couple dollar bills inside. And
that's all you need.
A drum set one day.
That's all you need. I just want you to know, if I ever see you in a concourse at O'Hare, I'll be happy to throw some money in the case. Okay. That'd be the cajon case. You guys started at School of Rock when?
Back when I was a freshman, so about 5 years ago, I met Jonathan through the School of Rock at Hinsdale, and him and I actually started the band with a couple other people, playing out a few shows. We wanted to do some shows outside of School of Rock, and eventually, we met Lindsay through an outside show. We met some of the others through School of Rock. Sam is in the neighborhood, so we all just kind of came together, and we're really excited to be playing music together now.
Yeah, Sam Peters, RJ Guido, and Victor Bucciolato. Victor Bucciolato's here in studio. By the way, we don't have CLTV up on our main monitors because Victor would stare at his face the entire time when he's up there. So, Lindsay, they hired you?
Yes, yes, they did.
You're hanging around with a bunch of these dudes. Is that any fun for you?
The fun comes and goes. No, I'm kidding. They're awesome. They're really some of the best people I've met. They're super awesome, and they're extremely talented. It's a really fun time. It's a really, really fun time.
Well, you guys are great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're really great. Hang around a second. We're going to come back, talk a little more, and we'll meet these guys in the studio who got up to come down even though they weren't allowed to play on that song. We'll tell you where you can hear these guys, too. It's the Millennials.
Entitled men and women with the name they're given, they call Millennials. History, they all say back only to their birthdays. That's the Millennials.
Stump the Millennials.
We will ask them what they know.
Stump the Millennials.
A pathetic bad game show.
Stump the Millennials.
Woo! Back with the Millennials, the band. We haven't played Stump the Millennials in a long time, so we thought we'd exploit these guys.
You need to play that song.
While they're here.
That's a great song.
All right, am I right?
Yeah.
By the way.
Did you write that?
Yeah, I did actually. Just
fantastic, dude,
during the break.
Do you want to join us?
Well, you know, we'll talk.
We can put you on cajon.
Well, I could do cajon. Actually, you know, since I look so much like Billy Joel, I'll just fake play a piano.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The resemblance is it's insane.
Lindsay Kent, Michael, help me out. Michael again?
Hanahan.
Michael Hanahan and Jonathan Tatulas. You heard him sing. Chain's a great song. Who wrote it?
We all wrote it together. We all kind of take our own parts and we kind of mess around a little bit. You know, there's never like we walk into a room where we're like, okay, here's a song. It's going to be a number one hit.
Right.
It takes time. It takes us all sitting in a basement scratching out ideas. But really, everybody kind of writes their own parts. Michael like wrote the lead guitar and stuff. Jonathan drums. I do all the words and lyrics.
It's a team effort.
It really is. It's a team effort and everybody gets to do what they do best.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun.
You guys are in the performance studio. Here in studio are Sam Peters. RJ, is it Guido or Guido?
It's Guido, actually.
No, I'm sorry. Your choices were Guido or Guido?
In that case, I'm going to go...
What is it, actually? RJ, what?
Guido.
Guido, thank you. And Victor Bucciolato are all here. What do you guys do in the band?
So I play the rhythm guitar.
Okay.
I play the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the keyboardist.
And you guys came in and took the good mics while those guys were in there working. So they're still in the performance studio. So we'll play Stump the Millennials in a second. But this is a perfect time. Lindsay's a beautiful girl. We'd met her once before.
Thank you.
You know, Tatulas has got the rock and roll hair. But the rest of you guys, what are we going to do to rock you up a little bit? We got to rough you up a little.
I got some pants. I got some crazy pants. We got dragons on them, snakes.
Okay, anything. That's a good start.
I'm the bass player. I'm just supposed to be cool.
Yeah, that's true.
We just make them wear sunglasses.
Yeah,
that's true. It's this whole rock outfit.
And you got a little bit of the rock look. You look like you slept in your clothes, so that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and Victor, what are we going to do about you? Because you got a great smile, but you just seem way too attracted to yourself. What are we going to do about you?
Spikes the hair up.
Keyboards are kind of dirty, so...
We put a mirror at the back of the room.
Yeah. There you go. Now, Sandberg, you can speak to School of Rock because Catherine's involved in this, right?
I am, yeah. It's an incredible organization. The nice thing I think about it is that it brings kids together from a lot of different areas she didn't know anybody at School of Rock of Evanston when she went there.
So it's a good social thing, too?
Yeah, and, you know, just different backgrounds and things. But the thing they have in common is music. And so they learn to, you know, and you have to, they were talking, the guys in the studio were talking about how it helps you be a part of a team. And, you know, music is, when things are live, they are imperfect. And it helps you.
You kidding?
Become
4 hours a day of imperfect here.
It helps you become adaptable and learn that it's not the end of the world. If there's an error, you know, you pick up.
You know, we should start School of Talk. We just get mouthy kids to come in and we teach them how to do talk shows. Mouthy, opinionated, fact challenge kids. Right?
Isn't that called Stump the Millennials?
Yeah, it could be. All right, so here's the way Stump the Millennials works.
Oh, no.
We're going to ask you guys questions that really, rightfully, you shouldn't know the answer to. But let's see, in fact, if you do.
Wait, we shouldn't know the answer?
Nah, not really.
Oh,
not really.
Okay.
What fun would it be?
These are questions that would really, kind of like from 2000 or before. History from 2000 or before.
Right, Michael, you get four. You were the only one born in 99. You get all those questions.
All right, so
90s kid.
So we can see. You guys can jump in on any of these. Let me start with this one. What is a collect call?
When a lot of people are on the phone.
It's when you're at a pay phone and you don't have the money to pay the pay phone, so you have the person on the receiving end say that they'll take it and pay for it.
RJ! Yeah.
Was that right?
That's exactly right.
Look at you, RJ!
Bonus question. What's a pay phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are still a thing.
RJ, have you ever used a pay phone?
I've never used a pay phone.
Okay, you know, you can still find them at O'Hare, but it's like they're ashamed of them. They have them with the backs facing the window.
I was getting my nails done on Saturday, and they have Netflix running on the TV, and there's a new Netflix movie called The Perfect Date, and they showed a high school dance in it, and one of the photo opportunities was phone booths. So you could do photo ops.
It's so crazy nostalgic.
I know, it's very funny to me.
Yeah, by the way, RJ, they're mostly used by drug dealers now.
Awesome.
All right, so let's go to question number two. This is also related to the telephone in a way. What are Yellow Pages?
Oh, Yellow Pages, that's the phone book with all the numbers. So you pay money and you put your number in Yellow
How
Pages.
About
so
look it up. How about it? Yeah. It's very strong.
That's not that old.
You need a plumber.
You need a plumber. RJ, by the way, you knew the answer, but you laid back because you wanted someone else to get some credit, didn't you? Just go with it.
I got a bonus question for that one, too.
Oh, you have a bonus question?
Bonus question for that one about the Yellow Pages. Fill in the blank. Let your fingers do the blank.
What's the slogan? Very famous advertising slogan. Let your fingers do the... I'll give you a hint. The answer is not flipping.
Talking.
Or picking.
I'm gonna go talking.
Fingers do the talking? No. Close, though.
Yeah, close.
Walking.
No, walking, that's it. That's
I was right.
Nice accidental answer, Lindsay. Very strong.
I needed to redeem myself from my other one.
Yeah, very, very strong. Let's see. Let me go to this now. What is a ViewMaster? What is a ViewMaster?
I know. I think that's it's like the binoculars on top of like skyscrapers and stuff, right? And you put like a corner in there.
You're close.
What is that? That's a viewfinder, maybe?
Viewfinder?
I don't know.
That's the thing on top of a skyscraper that you put money into.
You put like those white slides in.
Whoa!
I had one of those when I was a kid.
Yeah, same.
Okay, as much as we don't know, these aren't that old. As long as like now we know what they are. Okay. I had these as a kid.
We're not uncultured.
All right, well, I'm not giving you the advanced game. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
We're not playing hardball just yet.
All right, now here's another one. This is from Dave's youth, mostly. What are color forms?
Oh, yeah, you got me there.
Color forms. Any idea?
Color forms. No idea.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
RJ doesn't know. We don't know.
Long before the internet, there were dangerously chemically made plastic forms that would stick. And you would take these, they were called color forms in various bright colors, and for hours of fun, there was no internet, for hours of fun, you would take these color forms and you would put them in various drawings or positions and just experience great storytelling.
They were like a smaller version of a fathead. Like in a
yeah, kind of
yeah,
you, yeah. You could remove them
and put
book.
Them back on.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
You fit the stickers in the.
Don't
spaces.
They still have those? I want to say they still have them.
Yeah, probably in stores that sell stuff that's old.
Yeah, but those are the best. I play with those for hours.
Sell them at Uncommon Goods or something.
All right, how about this? What are green stamps? Playing Stump the Millennials. If you just turned your radio on, what are green stamps?
Green stamps.
Green stamps, yes.
I don't know what green stamps
Well, let me start
are.
With this. What are stamps?
You put them on your envelopes when you send out.
Ah, very good. What are green stamps?
Are they just green?
More eco-friendly stamps.
And where do you put it?
That's a great answer. Eco-friendly stamps.
You know,
very logical.
About that.
Dave, what are green stamps?
Well, and S&H green stamps.
Well, there actually were different kinds, though.
Oh, we're, okay.
Yeah.
But green stamps, when you shopped, they would give you, depending on the size of your purchase at the grocery store or whatever, a sheet of stamps. And then you had a book, and you would take the stamps, and you saved them. And we'd get to a certain number, you could pick something from the catalog.
So you would lick the stamps, you'd put them in the book, you'd fill up the book, and then a certain number of books would get you something. Like if you wanted a bike, 10,000 books, something like that. But again, I don't know if I mentioned this before the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were around from the 30s to the 80s, late 80s, actually.
So it's kind of like the Jewel Monopoly?
Yeah, similar.
Exactly.
Except you shouldn't lick the Jewel Monopoly cards.
But it's probably more similar to like your Starbucks app that gives you stars
rewards,
and then you get free drinks.
Oh, okay.
Because
like
this way, it wasn't a contest as much as it was you save up and then you redeem them. I got a ping pong table.
Oh wow!
With the
way.
Top value stamps.
Oh wait, can we guess what that is?
A ping pong table? No, I'm pretty sure you got that one. I'm pretty confident you know that. All right, let me give you one more. What happened during a duck and cover drill?
You go under like a table or a desk and you cover your head so you don't let something hit you.
Yeah.
With a tornado.
No,
it's not a tornado.
During like a war or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
In the 60s, probably the 50s too, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s and
60s.
The 70s. Was it even in the 70s?
I remember doing them, yeah.
It was assumed that if you got under your desk at school, a nuclear bomb couldn't hurt you.
Yeah. Wasn't it that video of the turtle?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Duck and cover.
Wow.
It's kind of like that thing where when you're at home, you cover yourself with a blanket and you just assume you're invincible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except you stop that when you're about 5, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not RJ.
Not RJ.
No.
I got to tell you, you guys are much better at this than I thought you'd be. So the next time you come in, we'll give you the advanced version of Stump the Millennials.
Also better than our millennials.
Oh, yeah, our millennials were idiots. Yeah. All right, so Lindsay, if we want to hear you guys play or hear your music or give you money, what do we do?
So you can find us. We have a website. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. They're under the Millennials, or Band Millennials is our Instagram. And you can find us on Twitter, Snapchat, all that good stuff. The link to our website is in our Instagram and our Facebook bio. You can also find us on iTunes, Pandora, Spotify at The Millennials with our song Chains. And this whole summer we'll be playing a bunch of awesome shows in Brookfield, LaGrange. We have a really awesome one booked for June 21st. We're going to be playing Wrigley Field, so right here in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are happening.
Yeah, so everything is on our website, like I said, Facebook and Instagram right now.
All right, excellent. And next time we'll talk about which of you have collected the most groupies so far as well. Are groupies still a thing?
Fans.
Oh, they're a thing.
Fans.
They are. Yeah.
AJ just pointed to the bass player.
There you go. Cool bass player guy. Congratulations, you guys, on the success and all the great things you're going to do.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Come back with the headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
9:43, we continue on CLTV and 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show number 1,353. It's tax day. Woohoo! Don't worry, Dave. I filed my extension.
I certainly would hope so.
And, I'm a big fan of Trump. You know how big a fan I am of Trump. Have I made that clear on the show?
I think it's pretty clear, yeah.
I actually owed the government less this year. So the fat check I normally write on the 15th was smaller.
Well, there you go.
So you would think that I would be nicer to Donald Trump. No. What are you, crazy?
Well, and
that's not
going
to happen.
I made up the difference for you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
So did I. I had to pay a warrant this year, too, so.
So I look at the amount of taxes I pay in a given year. Good God.
All the rich people paying less and all of us poor people paying more.
That's
I think, good, Steve. By the way, I think poor might be a stretch there, Newsroom. All right, listen, Kelly Kitley, one of my favorite people, is here and is a friend of the show. She came in, she told us about this cool idea. And this idea was this studio, this all-encompassed wellness studio that she was going to do with, wait for it, her sisters. And we like Kelly a lot, so it wasn't until she left the room when I went, they're going to kill each other. Kelly, welcome back.
So good to be here. And introducing one family to the other.
Yeah, and tell me the sisters. Introduce the sisters, I should say.
So this morning, my sister Nicole Braglia and my other sister Emma Ukiaga came in this morning because Emma's on spring break. So we thought we'd kick off the week just right.
All right. Now, how did duties break down at the studio?
Well, we have very different personalities.
Different specialties, too.
Different specialties, right. Different personalities.
Right.
So I am the media and psychotherapy leg.
Right. Which means, by the way, she does therapy mostly for media people because we're all nuts. And Emma?
And Emma teaches strength and yoga classes at the studio in conjunction with her role as a special ed Chicago Public School teacher. And Nicole, our middle sister and middle child of five, is an esthetician and performs clean beauty product facials on our clients as well.
By the way, Dave, esthetician, skincare.
Got it.
Things of that nature.
Yes. Got it.
So, Sandberg, you've known Kelly forever.
I have. We used to play softball together.
Did she come to you with this idea?
The studio?
Yeah.
She did not run it by me, if that's what you're asking. Though I do approve of a sister a joint venture. I like the all-female empowered, let's do something. And all the things that they're doing are for self-care. And I think that's the common theme there. And when she was talking about the facials, the clean products, that's a big movement, Steve. I'm not sure what kind of puts stuff on your
skin. Well, you know, my body's a temple,
yeah.
As you know, and so I try to take care of it all the time. The extent of my skincare is fairly limited: moisturizer once in a while, and a good sunblock.
All right,
but
I don't know if you know.
Men
what's
can
in.
Do more.
Well, they could do more, but they also what's in the stuff you're using is it comes into question because it turns out there's not like a ton of regulation on what you're allowed to put in products that we put on our face to make us look good. And so I think you could speak better on this. I'm no expert, but that's one of the things you were
saying,
Kelly,
right? Yeah, you're totally right. Nikki, do you want to get
yeah.
on?
Yeah, so the FDA, I don't know how many people know this, but they actually do not regulate our beauty products. And so our beauty products have not been regulated since 1938, where somebody was actually looking into what was the ingredients that we were carrying in our skincare. And so with that being said, there are many ingredients that are banned in many other countries. And however, here, we don't have those bands on those ingredients.
So it's like vitamin supplements. It's like you could be taking anything, you could be putting anything on your skin.
Yeah, exactly. So
is makeup the same way?
Makeup's the same way.
No regulations.
No. And so being a multi-billion-dollar industry, it's really driven by mass production and filling our products with things that are not derived naturally. And so with that, there are synthetic chemicals and just things that overall, as your skin being the largest organ of your body,
right.
There are things that are internally affecting us as well. And so what you're putting on your skin is so important. And so at Renew Studio, we have that holistic approach where we carry things that are non-toxic and clean beauty.
So better for the environment, more importantly, in this case,
exactly.
Better for you.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm so glad I was introduced to this because I was still using, I won't say the product because, you know, no sponsorship, but I was using some old school products.
Right.
It was like basic soap, and it as a 40 plus year old woman, it's really been a nice venture into this next phase of my life.
And I guess it's probably a lot of Renew Studio, but it's probably a lot of work finding the right vendors, right?
It is. So there's definitely, as Mary was saying, a movement towards it. So there's people that we're educating, and that's something that we're really big on. And so some of the events that we have at Renew Studio, it's really about educating people. And because as a consumer, we don't know, and so we might go to a local grocery store or wherever we buy our skincare and not really know the ingredients
sure.
that are in those products. And so if you can, so at Renew Studio, we kind of have a list of ingredients that we don't want to be in your skincare products.
And you can help educate people when they come in on what they're using versus what they could be using, that kind of thing?
Exactly. And just giving them that quick reference so that they can just take a look at the back of the ingredients and say, like, these are the things that we don't want to see in what you're putting on the largest organ of your skin,
wow.
on the largest organ wow. of your body. So, yeah, It's definitely education based, and it's about getting safer products in more people's hands.
Dave, you wear a lot of makeup.
I do.
Mostly when you're on
Why
TV.
Why is everyone laughing?
Sometimes on the weekend when you want
Mainly
to feel pretty.
Mainly when I'm on television.
Yes. So you could use better products for you, I'm sure.
I could. Yeah, absolutely. And one thing.
You should go to Renew Studio.
I should do.
We should do a WGN radio and TV makeover.
Oh. Yeah, how about that?
That would
how about
good.
That? Mind, body, soul. We'll work you out and do some therapy. And then
maybe a wardrobe thing. Give me a little bustier.
You might have to like block it off for a whole month. With the
depends on the person.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Emma, you teach kids with special needs.
Correct.
And then at night you teach yoga?
I do. So I teach 4 days out of the week. At Renew Studio. I'm there Tuesday, Thursday nights, and then I'm there.
It's a serious commitment.
It is a very serious commitment, but I'm so grateful that I get to do two of my, most favorite things all the time.
So, it depends on the discipline, like martial arts. I'm of the discipline of yoga where you bend over and then you try to stand back up, those type of things. But what do you teach?
So I think everyone kind of has us taken as a yoga studio, but we offer a lot more than just yoga. We do the strength training, so we have body weights in there that you can use. We have free weights. We do a running class. We have meditation on the weekends. So we kind of want to encompass everything in terms of physical fitness that would also translate to increasing your mind, your soul, while you're practicing in the studio.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, they're all connected.
They are, yeah.
I know write that down. Because I didn't know that part. When we come back, Kelly, I want you to talk about the mind part of this, the mind and the heart part of this, and also talk to us about what you guys are doing today.
Can't wait.
Stand by. What's the website?
www.renewstudiollc.com.
What if I want to follow you on Instagram?
Our Instagram? Our Instagram is renew_studio_LLC.
And it's a good follow.
That's,
we recommend
that's
it.
Not my area of expertise.
We recommend
obviously.
It. Well, that's okay.
She's not the social media side.
I think we forgot out who
myself
was.
That's myself and Emma.
Yeah, I figured that out. Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Renew Studio, special event today. First off, tell everybody where.
We are hosting a self-defense fundraiser tonight in Elmwood Park at 7534 West North Avenue from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
And what's going to happen?
We have hired a woman named Lisa Fougere, who is a martial arts specialist, and she will be leading us through a self-defense class that could save your life. It saved my life, and I hope nobody ever has to use it, but it's a great skill to have in case you do need to use it.
Do you need a guy to come out to get beat up as kind of a dummy?
You want to come?
No, I'm thinking somebody else, but I got a list of a few I can send. But this is an important thing. So moms and daughters in particular, be a cool night, right?
Yeah, and my son. You have to be 13 to come. And my son will be coming tonight as well.
That's
great. I
think
it's a great skill. And it's not to evoke fear, but more to empower people. Mm-hmm. And it's $25 to participate. And
there's no downside to learning how to protect yourself. 99.9% of the chance of the time you're going to be perfectly safe, but every woman at some point in her life is going to get into a situation that makes your heart rate jump and is a questionable situation, and you may need to go to the next level to protect yourself. So why not know how?
Well, and I do hear a lot of people who I have gone out into the community and spoken with that they don't want their kids or their grandkids to be fearful about what could happen to them. But it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and it's something that you know that I'm very passionate about and have
sure.
come on the show and spoken about quite a few times. And the proceeds will go to Porch Light Counseling Services. And they provide free counseling to college survivors of sexual assault.
That's great. It's a wonderful thing.
So, Kelly, at Renew, the part that you bring to the table is the mind part. How is that different than what you do at Serendipity?
It is very similar. I practice out of Renew Studio on Fridays, so it's been incredible to see people in our community that I can't serve down on Michigan Avenue. And my sisters and I host a wellness workshop 2 to 3 times a month and use all of our services to focus on I'm the mind piece and body and soul. and we come together and perform.
So you
it's
know,
pretty cool.
Yeah, sisters are the most honest people you'll meet with other sisters. And I know Mary Vandeveld has a ton of sisters, and she could
agree to that. She has 37 sisters.
She has four.
Four is a lot.
When you guys are having conversations or disagreements with Kelly, do you feel she's psychoanalyzing you or trying to use
Oh, Mary.
Always.
That's a great point. How do you win an argument when your sister's a therapist?
You don't.
That is not true. They, you know, Emma is our mediator. Nikki and I are pretty headstrong, and Emma's our neutral piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
So she usually is standing in between us with one arm.
And it's been like that our whole lives. It's like Kelly and I are either we have to stand at opposite ends of a room, or we're right next to each other holding hands. So there's always that. But
that's love.
That's love. And that's really where Emma comes in and ties it all together to keep us all really balanced. And
thank God you're saving the family.
She's right. Saving us. Yeah. She brings in her breathing techniques, and she's like, okay, guys, before we discuss this, let's talk about
right.
it. Let's breathe.
Well, the cool thing is what you've done here, I think, is really special, because not only did it give you a chance to work with each other, but you're providing a service. And Kelly, I think you and I talked about this last time. You eliminate excuses. It's a one-stop shop, man. You can come in and you can go, I can get this, this, and this. I don't have to drive across town for all three things or four things or whatever. So I think it's really smart.
Can I also let you know how affordable it is? I mean, we have created services that everybody can afford. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, it's negotiable. And so that's really important, because I don't know of any place like us.
Well, it's impressive. You ought to be proud.
We are proud.
Thank you. We are. Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming over, too.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you for having us.
You can come anytime. Even if Kelly says don't come in without her, you can come in.
I'm sad that you're done for the day. I was just going to hang out here all day with you.
Oh, you'll like the Bill and Wendy show.
Now that you let me in, I don't think I'm going to leave.
Oh, boy. Egomaniac. Unbelievable. RenewedStudioLLC.com. Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Taxes? Isn't this the line from Metallica?
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Because I'm an idiot. Happy?
Let me tell you how it will.
Bill and Wendy here. Bill, I know you'll agree with me on this.
Yeah.
As the sisters just left the studio.
Yeah.
Nothing will make you feel sexier than have these three women, these three attractive women go, oh, my God, you remind us so much of our dad.
Just like our dad. And they're only a couple years younger than you, and yet somehow they look at you as a father figure.
Kelly Congrats. Was going to let it go. She kept, guys, doesn't he look just like dad? Just like dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I found out Kelly tells everyone that. What are you doing today?
How is that your business?
You know what? You're right. How dare I?
We're going to talk about funny women.
Sheila Motion has written a book called The League of Extraordinarily Funny Women that chronicles the history of women being funny. Really great
stand-ups,
book.
Actresses, everything?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I'd like to throw Catherine O'Hara out there. I think she's underrated. She's hysterical.
Very yeah. funny.
Who's yep. your favorite funny woman ever?
Toadie Fields.
Toadie Fields.
I liked Toadie Fields.
That's an answer I did not see coming.
Yep.
By the way, how'd your thing go yesterday?
Oh, I had two things yesterday. We were at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Turi Ryder has a new book out, and she said, what? And we were there with a lot of women in radio.
And went well?
It went really well. Good. And then I had another appearance for the Pillars Community Health at Salerno's Restaurant in Hodgkins, and that was just music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and it was great. And
it was such a nice
booked.
Day to be driving around.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What is this?
Armageddon.
And we didn't even break a record. That's what upsets
me. No, but I think it's clear more than ever that Mother Nature's on crack and needs help.
Yep.
And Bill, once again, it's none of my business what yeah. you're doing, but it's going to be great.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
No, I'm asking.
Oh, it will be great.
It's going to
yeah.
be great?
It will be very yeah. good, yeah.
Did you have a nice weekend? I really didn't ask.
Yeah, I'm working on a meat sculpture.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
What are you working with? Kind of meat?
It's mostly ham, but there's a...
Underwood deviled ham?
It's Underwood deviled
ham.
Because
that's sculptable.
Yeah.
And it always sounds great when it comes out of the can. Yeah, a little bit of this. A little bit of that right there.
I love that yeah. stuff.
Do that one more time. Yeah. Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, that's it. See you tomorrow.